interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 432. And only if you will, folks. This is how much this is working against us, is only as much as you'll take. And until you say stop, essentially, and there is a proper way, even in face of all the tyranny, that won't recognize it. And that's the problem that we're in. I told you this was coming as more and more people accepted the nonsense around them. And I mean, just all of it, everything. My whole life isn't wrapped around, even though I talk a lot about it, because I do think it's the most important thing right now to give us the leverage that we needed, this thing that they've created around us, the perception management psyop I told you about before it started, saying the timing was right to advance. And you see, continue to see the references to 9/11, as I told you they were doing it, to trauma-based nonsense that they keep putting on the people, because they're just not generally together enough to throw it off. That's all been proven. They then went to military martial law type work, which no one wanted to agree to, because it came through what looked to be a professed medical emergency, communicable disease emergency. In fact, nothing of the sort. It was a plan. And it's kind of hard to have people wrap their mind around how this could be a global thing, or even something the United States is doing, and that the other countries are even coming in to agree with it. But when you start understanding there's a bigger play going on, a couple of them actually, and until you actually see that, I don't think it's really hard to grasp. I still don't understand how they're doing it, how they got everybody to capitulate, and how many people were in place to pull it off. But I can't deny that they have here. And there is still, as I've been pointing out, there is still local controls that have been not utilized by the people themselves. And this overall mass insanity that's gone on requires the majority insanity is requiring that the majority mutually work together. And we haven't been practiced at doing that. And so I've been attempting to try and get everybody to understand that each one of us has our rights to assert. It's always been stated. You're told that in court cases and in any kind of thing when they respond to, well, you have a case-by-case basis. That's talking to you. And it doesn't talk to anything in particular as far as an issue, a question, if there is a question. And I've said, don't bring the questions. You bring what the facts are that say, when applying the law, is a direct violation to something in you. And I didn't quite get enough done this week to do the research, but I just wanted to throw this out there. What they're doing is a forfeiture and confiscation of your rights. And that works as an attainder that's supposed to be prohibited. And that's only applicable to, what would we say, in times of treason, conviction for such. So they're applying to us the things that they ought not to, and nobody stepped up. And what I was explaining also was that they are doing an attainder, and then almost like an oddball confiscation of your rights to property. And I was going to go through a little bit of that to show you how another. If you're someone who understands your rights under a constitution and a government that was supposed to be constrained thereby, you have to bring these things, otherwise they're considered to be okay against you. As I've told you, when you start looking at the civil rights, equal rights, and you start seeing that clearly is not what we've been told. And I've explained this over and over and over, and some of this I can get back to and explain over and over. And again, I haven't found anybody that will discuss this if it is a problem. And I've asked you to, correct me if I'm incorrect. And so we have some things that we have to do. You have to show that you're distinct from what they can do things to. And I've said your local communicable disease laws has all that you need in order to show that they didn't have the power. This first story is very important. That to show us that justice is, they call it slow, but that's an excuse. This should have happened. This is an equity condition. The court should have stepped in to check whether or not everything was done. Instead, they handed this over. Now we have a federal court ruling relative to the authority of the CDC. And remember, keep all these jurisdictional separations in mind. This is not the federal court deciding a state issue. They can't. So now we're looking at the CDC is in scrutiny for doing what? Something I've told you already for a long, long time now since this thing gone on, that the federal government has no authority to issue anything. It's all locally, relative to health issues, all locally determined. And then we get into the concept of, well, how do they determine that? Well, they did it two pathways, and you have to shut both of them down. You have to assert the fraud that they didn't do either. One is that the communicable disease laws was not followed to a man or a woman before they were imposed with mitigation measures. And it was a fraud to do so on top of that. Second, then you had the governors coming out with an emergency order, which is supposed to have a non-fraudulent demonstration of a demonstration of a non-fraudulent exigency. And so you had to declare that this is a fraud. And I understand that all the courts capitulated. Why? Because it was planned, folks. I don't know what to say. This didn't go across the globe without checks unless everybody was in on it. I don't know how they did it. I just know that it happened. You witnessed the failure of all governments. You don't live underneath a government now. You don't have a lawful government. You are the government. And that means that you all have to get together and mutually protect in mutual protection. Now, in the meantime, court case goes on. Long time passes. Should have happened right up front. Federal court rules CDC's COVID-19 eviction moratorium is unlawful. What have I been saying? It has to be. They have no, the CDC is an agency of the federal government. They have no rights to get inside the state and inside of the agreements of people. But do you think the federal court decided on that? Do you think they came clearly out to say that? No. I'm going to give you this link. You can read it. That a federal court on Friday ruled that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention overstepped its authority by halting evictions during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Cincinnati-based U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously agreed, you get the link, with a lower court ruling that said the CDC engaged in federal overreach with the eviction moratorium, which the agency has consistently extended for months. Every month this was put in was a violation to people, and the courts never stepped up. None of their attorneys stepped up until this late date, until people were hurt, until landlords were hurt. Several weeks ago, the CDC announced it would allow the policy, which has passed into law by Congress, to expire at the end of July. Excuses for doing the law. And this is the main problem you're going to find when you read this story. And then the court comes back, and magnanimous and beneficial it is. It is not our job as judges to make legislative rules that favor one side or the other, the judges wrote, but nor should it be the job of the bureaucrats embedded in the executive branch. While landlords and tenants likely disagree on much, there is one thing both deserve, for their problems to be resolved by their elected representatives. And so here we have again the judges handing your rights to your property and your contracts to the representative is not the lawful answer, but it is removing the unlawful action by a federal foreigner that had no jurisdiction in the state. And so you're looking at the failure. You don't have a, folks, you don't have a government. It doesn't exist. There are no checks and balances. There's no real law. There's nothing. There's only you. There's you and the one next to you and the one next to them. Was that gender neutral enough? Them? Anyway. So, I agree. The CDC overstepped its grounds, but the federal court did not declare why. It said that your rights are subject to your representatives. If you didn't understand the prison that you've always lived in when you bring yourself subject and don't know how to cut yourself from that herd they're trying to make immune. I won't go through the article. Anybody who's interested could read it. I need to keep moving. We've got lots to cover. Again, just touching the tip of the iceberg that's there to see on a number of principal points to understand about what's going on. And I suggest strongly to understand those so you have a better understanding of this battlefield that you live in so you can take the more proper course through it or more and better, avoid it if you can altogether. And so they make it very difficult, but this is the prison. And this is the point about more perfect unionity that they created from Lincoln. This is not about COVID. There's a couple of occupations running. And we, the people, were expected to throw it off, and when we didn't, we gave license to it all. However you want to define it, it's there. And moving into now, so we got, if you will, a victory that the CDC can be shown to overstep its bounds. I guess the other point I wanted to make, where did they overstep their bounds relative to COVID? If they did they didn't have a moratorium right to make an eviction moratorium, what about the rest of the suggestions they make? If you interpret that correctly, they're all suggestions. Now, I told you and it comes up. It comes up and it finally comes up. My words are being re-spoken. I wonder who listens to me and who doesn't, and who doesn't say so, or whether this just becomes a general psyche. Finally, some people repeated my words. You are living on the correct side of history to attack this for yourself. How long ago did I tell you that? And it's said in another statement, as I'll move on to, from that story to this story, and then move into those another interview where that is stated, the premises that I've been promoting and providing and try to get people to understand, to embrace and fight with, use as the weapons to fight with against this war against you, is now becoming recognized all this time. As I told you that it likely would, when no one really stepped up or understood how. Showing you also, as a people, we're in some serious trouble. The beacon of freedom, the people of in the beacon of freedom having trouble keeping their liberty, their civil liberty, not civil rights, showed the world the world was in trouble. But you, huge, says here, this next report, whistleblower says at least 45,000 people have died from experimental COVID jab in a new lawsuit. And this is the American Frontline Doctors, apparently. I think this is coming. I got this right after the broadcast over at Minds, this story. I think I actually got some more links from emailers about the court case and maybe even the filing. I think I read part of that. So much information this week going through. I'm actually getting to the point I'm wondering. I'm starting to get confused where I'm getting some of this stuff. It's coming in fast and furious, and then I've got all this other stuff going on, and thank you for all the concern about us in the Forest Service. Yes, it's still ongoing, and they did invade again, and I'm, again, I've got to work the proper path. It takes a little bit. I'm trying to work a lot of reins on these teams of horses of remedy, because it's not, we have a bunch of weak people in government, or no people in government that are going to do the law. Somehow I've got to convince people to start standing up for, in their representative capacity. You just heard that court case. The federal court said it's in your representatives. And so there's somehow we have to bring remedy has to be gone through that they were supposed to protect, and then you somehow have to give a diplomatic threat, which ultimately we may not have because ultimately there is no government, there is no remedy, unless we, the people, provide it to ourselves. And I'm not talking common law nonsense, common law juries and all that. The people have to come together in mutual aid of each other. And know what's going on, and know the frauds that are happening, and we have to stand up and protect each other. At any rate, so yes, we still have the ongoing problem. I'm having to deal with quite a number of things in the law to try and write up something that'll convince people to start taking action that the law requires should be done, that we aren't enjoying as a society. And when you don't have that, you don't have the government you thought you had. But this comes out of these American frontline doctors that got beat down by the system relative to this fraud that's putting on you as under color of a public health communicable disease pandemic, none of which is applicable locally anyway, until you have it properly done. If you go look at your statutes, all of which could have been stopped there. I've told you that. They're now saying that these harms are even worse. And they now have, through some testimony, some observations, a set of doctors did some studies on the numbers, and found out that there's a number of different databases, that entry points, that are coming into VARS, only one of which is what's going to the system that you see, and the rest is not being reported. In those other databases, one was showing 45,000 Americans, if I remember this correctly. The declaration comes from as part of a new lawsuit filed in Monday. If I have this correctly, and the links were, I got those misunderstood, I think it was done in Alabama. But I don't remember. This one speaking here, Clay Clark's Reawaken American tour in California this weekend. Attorney Thomas Rentz, I thought he was the one out of Ohio, detailed the case on the brave whistleblower's allegations. Rents is representing AFD in a lawsuit, began to by telling the crowd, "I'm filing papers in federal court today, so you guys are the first to hear it. Go ahead and post." It's a censored in about 6 seconds. So going into this, got to read through, find the information. The affidavits are there to show their consideration that they're underreporting, terribly underreporting. Why we need to know that, I'm not sure how you're going to apply it. You're not going to apply it if you're not doing anything. So I'm just wasting my breath as far as all that goes. But for those of you that want to, this doesn't come first. This comes as a knowledge to you of the imperative that you need to be understanding of what's going on and again, the rightness of your cause. I've said you're going to be on the right side of history. Whether or not we see the fruition of that will depend on how many. They look in the chat room, Unity, from some body. I think it was a Unionity. They've combined this more perfect Unionity that now we're now suffering because we didn't throw it off. But so there's a lawsuit claiming that the VIRS that you see is totally and woefully inadequate to represent the total harm. And they say one of those feeds that are not being put into that system is reporting the calculator estimate. And this is a potential problem with this view. But nonetheless, if it can be shown even close, 45,000 people you're not seeing have died in a three-day period relative to what they're doing. Now, moving into, again, what we've talked in the past, I just want to bring this up for you to listen to another interview. Seemingly, Stu Peters is having these interviews with these people that repeatedly now, and again, Dr. David Martin is in one in this interview that I'll have a link to you to, but go through and listen. He lays it out a slight bit different on the corruption that's gone on the how they've done it. And that's the thing that I don't think people appreciate how they've done it. It can be put in paper too. So not only do you have what they've done wrong, when you can identify how they did it wrong, you're now getting the modus operandi of how they committed the crime, if you will. That's a little bit stronger, actually a lot stronger than just making a claim that a crime has been handy. But here, in this one of the things, the takeaways I got, because I'm just listening, I didn't listen for it, but it happened to come up and I listened to myself, I was listening to myself. Dr. David Martin is coming out. I don't think he says anything different than what I've said without knowing all that he knows. And what I guess my point there is all of you can get the information you need to come up with a very clear idea of what's happened beyond just an opinion. But ultimately, they both say at the very end, you're on the right side of history to fight this. And so I don't know where they got that for themselves, but they both agree. As I've told you over a year ago, you're on the right side of history. This is the history. You're going to make the history. You're making your future by making history today to fight this thing. It's not that difficult, but you have to do it. It's really, the fraud is really not a question anymore to anybody that's been looking. Now, together with the conditions that they're talking about, the bioweapon, how it's done, we talked about graphene oxide last week. I identified an ingredient that I think now, as I look through this, it may be the culprit. I say the culprit of finding out where is the graphene oxide, because it's not listed, obviously. Is there graphene oxide? Because there's some real serious stuff about it. And I said there's a double-edged sword. It can be used for good, although parts of that good is actually to do bad. That's what they're talking about when they want to enhance these death serums. They want to enhance it. They use this graphene oxide. So it's important for us to understand what's going on. Dr. David Martin will tell you this is a biological weapon. If we didn't hear it behind the woodshed from other people before, remember the doctors, the coroner in, I think it was Montana. This is not new stuff, but you got to be able to keep it together and pull it together so that you have a firm idea of what's going on. And so you can learn to resist in more proper ways these insane people that are just running out of fear or so-called patriotic duty. You're going to hear this coming out of Israel here soon. It's your duty now to persecute people. But anyway, moving here from David Martin's interview with Stu Peters into how it's the bioweapon. And I have a little concern about David Martin not understanding novel means patented. I mean, when you say novel, you might as well say patented product, patented artificial tool, weapon for profit. It's not a question. This didn't come from a bat when they said novel. Okay, you don't. Those two. That's oil and water without the surfactant. You're not going to mix that. And so, to me, it's never been a question. I told you this when, in the pig's fly flu, which wasn't any, ended up being nothing. It's the same plan overdone again. In fact, I don't hear any people talk about it. It's just the same plan. They've been doing this plan over and over. Anyway, Dr. David Martin speaks to this, you know, bioweapons harm. They actually hesitated saying that the shedding, I think it might have been Stu Peters, he says there's a question as to it. Well, I don't agree with that myself. I absolutely know we've seen even a so-called normal vaccine, a real vaccine so-called, actually causes the shedding. We found that proof positive with the Disneyland case. And so somebody, to his immense credit, doing more deep diving onto the graphene oxide, picked up on I think it was a link given to me to check out from Russ Brown on BitChute. And his title here is Urgent Graphene Oxide Causes Spike Protein Shedding and Illness Share Everywhere. You need to listen to the video. He's going to do a lot more justice to his research than I will. I do have for you the links that you can find on his site that I want to talk about to show you what we've been talking about and how it relates to what they're doing. It shows there's shedding going on. It shows also a couple of other things. It shows how we've been told before in the documentation this will cause secondary type infections that are not the original. So it looks like a mutation. Delta variant maybe, but it's not. It's caused by this ingredient that they put in, and they now change the word here, the scaffolding. I said backbone because that was the other stuff last week. This is a scaffolding for this other type of molecule that they hang onto graphene oxide. As I told you, you can adsorb elements onto this graphene oxide. It's very amenable to being made into things. It's just a framework. And it's like a neutral framework with a lot of attachment points. And they're using it. But this is showing Russ Brown, or Russell Brown, I guess his name, as he used on BitChute, has gone through the deeper dive to bring up all the a lot of documentation you could read to show how it looks like the spike protein, what that corona protein is, and that's the invention part, which might be considered the spike, but that it causes shedding, and it causes some other things. And so I want you to get this to see what you're up against, what they might be dealing with, why you can see the test coming back, even if you give credit to what they're checking on something, how it's only testing what I told you that they're doing. They're creating this in your body. They cause your body to be the manufacturing, but it's also doing shedding. It's actually the vector, the jabdemic vector. As I told you a long time ago, that would be how they would be doing this. And this becomes more running toward the needle in the haystack of noise. Though this is not virulent enough to the needle I was actually expecting if resistance came. But this one is showing you how they could make that needle. And that these things are enhanced. They go through Title 50s because of that dual use enhancement for military purposes. And that's all they need is to show in the exceptions underneath Title 50, they need to show that there's some good that can come out of it, and they can attach the dual-use military. So, moving in through to his credit, Russell Brown, he does a deep dive on coronavirus. He finds articles. I'll just read the titles and maybe touch a little bit of them and explain a little bit of this. I say go back to the video, let him explain it to you. The novel coronavirus spike protein plays additional key role in illness. Salk researchers and collaborators show how the protein damages cells, confirming COVID-19 as a primary vascular disease. Now, COVID-19 is incorrect there if we listen to the verbology, because those are only symptoms. Stuffy, sneezy, head cold medicine stuff type things is not causing vascular disease. Disease is another symptom of a cause. And so the protein is damaging the cells. The damaging of the protein is causing these vascular diseases, if you look more closely. Scientists have known for a while that SARS-CoV-2's distinctive quote spike, they put this word in quotes, spike proteins help the virus infect its host by latching onto healthy cells. They identify this thing as a virus. Folks, it doesn't look like a virus. I've told you this looks like a chemical weapon. Proteins are chemistry. They synthesized this whole thing as a chemical weapon. There's not a piece of actual virus, of living thing in this, as far as I can tell. Even the RNA is a synthesized technology that is then put in as a Trojan horse into this lipid, and that's the secret. The novel lipid seems to be the secret of where this graphene is setting. And it's not 99%. Let's get away from all that. That was totally wrong. It could cause our attention to peak to that there was something there. Go look at it. We sure enough, it's in there, but it's not obvious. And that's why they can hide that it's involved, because it's not part of the major constituent of what the lipid is. It's constructing the lipid. It's helping to construct it. It looks like a protein. Apparently, on one theory, it actually has the ability to transfect and make the DNA hybrid, which then causes the cell to replicate. So they're showing us that this thing, this protein, and I think you keep thinking prions here, like cancer, and you think this is a genetic and oncology treatment that they're foisting on people, experimentally, the same. So you start thinking of it more of a chemical weapon. This is chemotherapy, not a viral therapy. Now a major new study shows the virus spike protein, which behave very differently than those safely encoded by vaccines, also play a key role in the disease itself, in those symptoms. You have to understand that disease is not the infectious agent. If you start to see that very clearly, you start realizing to decipher these statements. They're only speaking to the symptoms all the time. They don't have something as a causative factor because it's made up. It's a chemical weapon. There's no virus. Now I'm saying that I can very well consider under the viral theory, they could be doing it, but that's not what's looking like is going on. When someone like Russell Brown digs deeper and finds out the graphene oxide does the very causes. It's a molecule that causes the very side effects that they've been saying would be seen before this thing got going. And notwithstanding even what Dr. David Martin is saying, they knew that all this stuff was going on, and anybody who does the study sees actions were taken weeks and months ahead to be ready to start into this, to promote into what's going on. I saw a story somewhere, I can't remember now where I read this morning, I'm not going to bring it up, just mention it. I think it might have been the Twitter, looking through the Twitter real quick, and then I didn't go too long. Someone said the CDC was hiring for quarantine specialists or something a month before this thing. Well, CDC is outside of its realm for doing quarantine, right? It's your local state county official that has that power, and then only once they've done their communicable disease statute. And so it doesn't really matter, but this just shows people focused. It's interesting, and it's important that they were going to foist this upon the people, and they were going to take the lead at the federal level to be the quarantine specialist. But the power is not there at all. And that other court case doesn't talk to this, but it does say that they overreached. And they're willing to overreach. And why? Any government that's going to be not hurting you wouldn't do that. They would be doing everything to avoid it. Another thing that they were saying, a big exclamation here, there's no internal product safety sheet. And it's explained now. There can't be a safety sheet because it's not an approved medicine, if you will, not an approved vaccine. Those safety sheets are only after they've been proven and they can show it. So the other reason why it would be blank is not under that cover. I want to make sure that to me, it's important you understand there wouldn't be a product data sheet because it's not safe generally and it's not a viral vaccine. It's a chemical weapon. It's a bunch of chemistry they put together in order to deliver this thing, enhance its role to do whatever they had planned it would be doing. The Salk Education website explains these spike proteins, whatever they've created, cause the problem. As I told you, you didn't need Salk to tell us, but everyone seems to want an expert. The guy behind the woodshed is not good enough. It's amazing how many people will talk, and doctors are finally talking about it, and now that's proof, and yet the guy behind the woodshed has been telling you all along, and I have to admit, I'm not a doctor, but the information was there for anybody that would just focus in and study to find out we were going to be in a lot of trouble. Even if I had questions about my own statement in December 31st of 1999, it was very clearly evident by March, for sure. And I don't mean just talk about identifying it as a scam. I mean how the scam was going, what they were doing. And then the hashtag for me was to put out, there is no test, to show we have some serious defects that nobody is doing officially, that everyone that's not an official needs to step up and stop. Moving on with Russell Brown's work to deep dive what this graphene oxide does and that it looks like a causative agent. Is the vaccine spike proteins are spreading more disease out of science. The science-based medicine skeptics having a fit over the fact that people are learning the truth about Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccines, in quotes, are shedding deadly spike proteins that trigger more disease. Okay, I'm going to end there. We got a lot to go on, a lot to go through. It's all the same thing. You have the proof now, the proofing that more respected organizations are identifying this as being a fact, and it's this, it ends up being this graphene oxide scaffolding relative to the lipid that the CPG, I think I identified, it's in there. And this is an adjuvant. This is to cause the body to respond. And so Russell Brown's work, and you'll see the link, has a lot more links than I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to go through some of the headlines to explain to you. I told you this was going to happen. It takes time. I understand all that. We didn't need all these studies before, but now that they're here, there's really no excuse. The plasma membranes from influenza virus-infected cells introduced in vitro human secondary virus-specific cytotoxic T lymphocyte responses. Plasma membranes from influenza virus-infected cells in vitro produce human secondary virus-specific cytotoxic effects. All right? It's not the first thing that they did. It causes secondary ones that are not the first thing, showing you that this can look like a mutation. And I guess this is the killer part of this. Whoever the brains were behind this, they're making a chemical weapon look like a biological weapon. And I got that insight, not because I'm so brilliant. I talk with brilliant people. My colleague, who I've been working with JMD, has knowledge about this. When he was in the military, he proffered the defense. It wasn't a defense. It was a latent offense. That what was coming in, treating it like a chemical weapon. And the military in those scenarios could not defeat his defenses built on the idea, instead of identifying it as viral, let's treat it as chemical. And he could defeat them. Is what got me onto thinking that this is what was going on with this. And right now it's going along. There's no reason for me to believe that view, his genius applying this in a war scenario, would be correct here. When I look at this as a war bioweapon and a war maneuver against the people, as I predicted it would be. And this is not starting just now. This has been going on for a long time. And then more specifically in the focusing, the cohering of this blood clot that they're putting on us was 9/11. So plasma membranes from influenza virus infected with C-cells will cause a human secondary virus. Just like we're talking, they call those variants. There's nothing biologic to be a variant. And if it is a variant, it's caused by the injection. And that's not even speaking to the mutations. That's the planned variant. There's mutations to that if we have a biological agent. Or the chemistry they use causes mutations to create because of dysfunctioning cells, which is what you see happening in the lipid and how they put it together. Again, this is very slick what they've done. In a way, I told you, I've really had to appreciate evil genius. It's still evil, but it is genius. It works out things I don't even have in me. I just don't even know. But we can figure it out, and we're going to have to. And I say we have to. That's only expectation that everybody listening to me and more and beyond all the people resisting right now, the skeptics and the hesitants out there, the asymptomats out there, really want to be free and not just are being resistant, being contrary to the plan. That's not going to fly very long. So we move on from this plasma membranes from influenza are then causing secondaries into studies that Russell Brown did in his research and links. Graphene oxide induces ruffling and shedding in mammalian cells, plasma membranes. Another link from cell.com. Graphene oxide induced plasma membrane responses induce loss of contact inhibition in RBL cells. You'll see the RBL is, I'm not going to be that versed, but it's in all these patents as well. It's what they're focused on. It's what the CPG works with. Or is somehow related or unrelated to what they're, it's an environment they're working around relative to these structures. GO or graphene oxide treated plasma membranes undergo nuanced structural and functional changes. And then we have this, they know that these are doing these structural changes, but they don't know to the what extent actually. And this begins to build the case against why they just have no clue when this stuff comes out and why you're the guinea pig. They don't know. And they could never, ever, ever got this through in a normal channel. And then they got you. This is so amazing to me. They got you, maybe not you, the listener here. They got you, though, the general public, to accept and consent to this thing. It's fascinating to watch. It's scary in heck, but it's fascinating to watch. Here they say here, the bigger picture is essential to understand the biological effects of nanomaterials to safely and effectively deploy them in living cells. Remember, we talked over and over how difficult this is. To get a chemical into a biology is very difficult. You got to do some fancy footwork and magic tricks to do this. And it's still difficult. And the body still is resilient. And I don't mean the New Age resilient or the sustainable resilience. But anyway, graphene oxide is a leading candidate material for use in biological systems because of its low cost, water solubility, and low toxicity. Let me interject a little thing. You realize how they went from graphene oxide being very expensive to being low cost in just a couple of years? And I'm focused on that because graphene and graphene oxide is kind of potentially fantastic application in energy, in storage, and energy storage and all that stuff. Anyway, moving over. Now here we identified changes in mammalian cell behavior and plasma membranes in the presence of graphene oxide. Cell behavior, folks. It becomes a different creature. You become a different creature. Your cells are no longer functioning normally in the presence of this stuff. GO induces dramatic ruffling and shedding of plasma membranes, which correlates with formation of uncharacteristic multi-layers in these cells. In other words, you're hearing them understand they have a problem, not just in Houston. And they're still doing this. These findings should encourage others to look for non-lethal cellular responses by GO or GO composites in other contexts. Once the biochemical basis of these is better understood, graphene oxide's ability to present multiple functional chemical handles and modulate cellular responses might be exploited for tissue engineering, stem cell differentiation, or reducing the invasiveness of cancer cells. Is that just not what they're talking about? Oh, here's the RBL was a test. It's the rat basophilic leukemia cells demonstrating the profound plasma membrane ruffling and shedding induced by graphene oxide. And so we can read about the horror. Folks, I said last week, in techno living techno horror. Minds didn't appreciate that title, I guess. Hardly anybody watches Behind the Woodshed. But again, I look at the society and go, wonder where your folks are at, generally. Where are you at? But we're watching this horror and not doing anything about it and then complain we don't have rights. It's the problem. It's really us. Okay, so here we have it. They've known, folks. And again, I can't appreciate Russell Brown's dive. I don't have the time to do this. I'm asking. People can do this. And we can start making those connective dots that really draw the picture a lot better than just the dots. And we can figure out, you look at, what can I say? You know a skunk when you smell it? Is that right, Courtney? You know, a skunk when you smell it? That's what we're trying to identify so that we understand what we're dealing with actually. We don't have to get buried by the science because it's all fraud. A fraud can only begat another fraud. And you won't find that in the Bible that begats that way. It doesn't live long in that regard because it's supposed to be arrested, destroyed. Fraud's to be destroyed immediately once it's found. Ruffling and shedding. We have a new statement here. Ruffling. This is what's caused by the graphene oxide. It's multiple cell wall constructions, not known and unknown to be causing problems that actually cause cell death. You wonder why the plasma sheds. I mean, the whole thing destroys and it goes throughout your body. Ruffling and shedding of the cell plasma membranes by graphene oxide can be dictated by media composition. Lots of words. The point is, it's telling us that they're doing that. This graphene oxide causes ruffling and shedding of cell plasma membranes, and it correlates with what is going on and the effects that we're seeing being reported. Moving on, in more links here. Again, you could read this and study a little bit longer, and I think you need to. I did what I could, and then I had to move on about this, but for this broadcast, biomolecular coronas provide the biological identity of nano-sized particles. Now we get to what that coronavirus is. They're telling you the novel coronavirus is what they build around the cell with these materials. And the corona, the thing they build around the cell, is what the identity of this thing, that so-called spike, why they put it in quotes. That is the coronavirus. It's not a coronavirus. It's a constructed shell or corona they place around the shell. The search for understanding means they don't know. I keep telling you this. They're just baffled, but they know. They know enough to know that what they're doing is a crime. The search for understanding of interactions of nano-sized materials with living organisms is leading the rapid development of key applications, including improved drug delivery for targeting nanoparticles. It's the graphene oxide itself. Get that in place. Because we found out there's a problem. The body really wants to resist this stuff. One of the ways they get around that, some of that, is to inject it right into your body. Like Bill Gates said, we put it right in their body. Right in your children's bodies. We inject it right in their arm. Unless they are specifically designed to avoid it, nanoparticles in contact with biological fluids are rapidly covered by a selective group of biomolecules to form a corona that interacts with the biological systems. Here we review the basic concepts of nanoparticle corona and its structure and composition and highlight how the properties of the corona may be linked to its biological impacts. We conclude with critical assessment of the key problems that may be need to be resolved in the near future. They are still trying to understand and they have key problems, but what the object is to fool your system to put these poisons and toxins into them. It's not something I want in my body. I don't need to know more, actually. The problem has been, where is this graphene oxide? And I think I identified it last week. It's inside that adjuvant. It's inside the lipid, the novel lipid. They don't have to tell you it's in there. It just makes it up, and it's proprietary. It's the scaffolding now that you'll hear. When you read these documents, it's here. It's called a scaffolding upon which they build these things, this nano graphene oxide. So they're building the very corona they tell you that's a coronavirus. It's not. It's a corona chemical. It's a corona built thing. It's a corona they put around another structure. I'm going to get this tongue untied at some point, maybe. Biomolecular corona formation. Nature and bactericidal impact on surface modified silicon nanoparticles. Biological fluids contain a plethora of different components that can coat nanoparticle surface and critically affect their interaction with living systems. The Trojan horse here, folks. The recent literature has focused efforts on understanding the role of the overall protein role, in this nanoparticle's coating, commonly called a protein corona. Spike protein, folks? The coronavirus? And they do that without considering other components' influences. This is the problem of cumulative effects that I've been telling you to don't disregard when you can find them. In the administrative side of this, that cumulative effects not taking consideration of is what you can overthrow a prior ruling. Here we report a protocol to study the relationships between biological and fluidic components, excluding proteins referred to as a biomolecular corona and nanoparticles. For this purpose, functionalized silica nanoparticles were duly synthesized to experimentally investigate the extent of biomolecular corona adsorption over different surfaces. This is, adsorption is the attachment onto a surface. This adsorption, it's the same thing they do to the graphene. They attach things to that framework. That's as a molecule that allows for attachments of things like the iron and lithium, all this other stuff that's available to that structure. This adsorption was directly correlated with the silica surface chemical constitution, while the extent of the biomolecular corona coating affected the overall surface charge. Now we're back to the electricity stuff. The overall surface charge and the colloidal stability of the functionalized nanoparticles. That's your serum totally. That's what they're speaking to when we're talking at the emulsions. This is as a colloidal stability. In other words, the charges allow for the stability itself. They don't need to worry about the balances of the emulsion. In addition, the bactericidal properties of biomolecular corona-coated nanoparticles were tested against two medically relevant bacteria, E. coli and Staphylococcus aureus, I guess SA. Biological results indicated the presence of the extent of the biomolecular corona effect the bactericidal properties of the nanoparticle. They're constructing this corona. This coronavirus is a constructed thing they attach by the chemistry in charge, and they build those corona cells. It's not in you, and it doesn't get passed from one person to another. That doesn't mean that there isn't a shedding of the plasma, which may trigger a thing in your body which can cause that more like that chemical weapons exposure that there have been so concerned about men relative to their women at home. The protein corona on nanoparticles as viewed from nanoparticle size perspective. Another article talking about this whole point here is the corona that they're telling you is a virus is constructed. It's the novel thing they are building around a cell, which the body then responds to. And there's studies about, there's knowledge now that they don't know what they're doing ultimately. The problems have to be worked out, but they know it doesn't. And so I think I want to end there. You see why they tell you here why they do this, why they need them beyond so-called vaccines. The problem is the exposure that Russell Brown does to tell us in the studies that the corona is a constructed novel thing. It's not natural. A bat doesn't do this. So we can kind of get rid of that. And it's made, the materials they use cause ruffling and shedding, and they cause structural morphologies they don't understand. And that's protein folding as well, if you understand that problem. And improperly folded proteins, as I understand it, is super, super dangerous. And so here I have my hat's off again to what Russell Brown did to expose this. And I want you to hear it. I want you to hear the little bit of it. There's more to read. You can understand what's really going on. I think it starts to focus more of us on the chemical weapon side of this thing and not a biological side. Although there can be elements, if the mRNA is actually active in this, that is another element to this whole thing on top of it. If it's doing that on top, and then the unintended consequences of a chimeric condition. And you are in a chimeric condition. And that brought in a whole other study that I was thinking about relative to that human and monster. And I won't go through it, but some of you can find it. And I found it by a phrase came in my head. and it didn't find the Ballantine's definition. I see lots of people quoting that now, which didn't happen before. But I did find out the Koch, or the Blackstone commentaries relative to the statement. And it's a little different than what Ballantine says. And Blackstone actually equates man with human, although I don't find evidence of it. And at the time of the writing, he would have been in a religious government that would have recognized that they recognized the Bible accurately, and I haven't found it. Maybe you can. The Bible of the King James that he was referring to never mentions human. That's been a new addition. And this is where the fall happens, if you will, in the understanding as well. And people want to start humanizing this whole thing, and you can't. And I see lots of people talking in this regard, well, the human, this, that, and the other. And it's not really the truth. And so we see this distinction in Ballantine saying that human is a monster, and yet Blackstone, which I found on Avalon Project, states that human is man, monster is a deformity to man, and what makes the creature only human-like is this condition that they're putting on us with, if you so choose it or be forced upon you, this software of life. Okay, so understand the hacking of the system, and I move in through that. I think Russell Brown has shown us graphene oxide is doing everything can do, everything that they say the problems of these death serums are. And that is, again, wholly more defining than the conjecture that it's a biological attack. But this hack is not done because you get the jab. The shedding is a problem. And we've talked about all this. This is not even a question now. I don't even know how this continues to be a question and why people don't see the threat to them. I told you they're coming to your front door. Those people coming to your front door with the jabs, anybody with a jab could be a vector, and you are going to have to deal with that shedding. And so it's a serious, interesting enhancement on what they're calling virology when it's not at all. It's a chemical weapons attack. It's a persistent, replicating chemical weapons attack, as far as I can tell. And to tell you the truth, I said, I don't care whether or not you go one or the other, but I want to go looking at the worst case scenario. At least the virus, I can tell. I'm not going to be shedding it or be contagious until I get the symptoms. At least I know that much. A chemical weapon, we found out, you can pass on without being affected yourself. As I did the bee venom analogy, the beekeeper and the beekeeper's wife was the only model, if you will, I could find, the only natural thing that we know that I could find that would be equating to the same condition we're looking at with something they call a safe vaccine. So they're hacking the system, and I got links, and thank you over at TrueTube Live, hacker news and some hacking news information about what Israel is doing with that Pegasus a little bit more. And it started to open up some new avenues, and this is another form of the attack coming on us. I went over to Hackers News just to see, and this little first link is really just looking through, for those of you that think your digital world, your technological digital world in life and social life, and your future, the future they want, which is to get you hooked up to the digital realm, if you think that's secure and safe, or even if you thought it wasn't, but you want to really see, I was astonished looking through the list at Hackers News. Just go right through the list. All the vulnerabilities that I had no clue were out there that are there all the time. If you think that going into a digital technological world, the Internet of Things, over into your body now, synthesized into your body, the software of life being hackable and updatable, if you want to look at see how that happens and you are not aware of it, just look at the front cover and maybe a few pages in on what has to be offered at Hacker News, the hackernews.com site. Amazing. Just amazing how vulnerable we are. We just pass it off like nothing, shrug our shoulders. But moving into that, a new leak reveals, again, the abuse of Pegasus spyware to target journalists globally. We're moving into that story that I was doing last week just a little bit more to show, because this starts to move us back into the pipsqueak in the world that really shouldn't have a place to do as much influence that it has been handed to do, and it's not what it is. It's another cover for another type of evil. New spot, and you see it in their works, folks. You don't need to tell me all the good things about it. I just watch what their deeds are. And where did I learn that? In the Lieber Code. Number one, you knows them when you sees them. My paraphrase, behind the woodshed, you don't have to be told you're under martial law. You'll know it when you see it. You know it by what you're watching is being done. This moves into, go ahead and have them talk. But the Zionistas are creating products that will infiltrate what you find in Hanker News. Are they're part of the problem? That they're given license in the world to continue to exist is the problem in the world, because that license is given to any other thing that you watch. A new leak reveals abuse of Pegasus spyware to target journalists globally. It was also publications and other things, and you know it doesn't stop there. And the revelations in this is absolutely stunning as to there is no limit is the problem. They're showing us they're going to point to journalists, which is bad enough, but they're already on everybody else as well. And then we'll hear what they talk. They just make a reference. Is the ongoing theme behind which it's exposed to y'all. You live in a military prison and haven't figured it out. Guantanamo is just an example. Gaza is just an example of a place you live in, but you don't see it. A sweeping probe into the data leak of more than 50,000 phone numbers have revealed the extensive misuse of Israeli company NSO Group's Pegasus, quote, military-grade spyware, close quote, to facilitate human rights violations by surveilling heads of state, activists, journalists, and lawyers around the world. Well, who cares about the lawyers? They've not done us any good anyway. But anyway, doesn't matter. Dubbed the Pegasus Project, and I had this misunderstood initially, the project is the media looking at this problem and trying to figure out, doing the investigation over a long time, which they'll tell you here in this next paragraph, to look into this problem, essentially to try and protect themselves from it. The dubbed the Pegasus Project, not Project Pegasus, the military's great spyware, but the project to hunt it down. The investigation, Pegasus Project, the investigation is a collaboration of more than 80 journalists from a consortium of 17 media organizations in 10 countries coordinated by Forbidden Stories, a Paris-based media nonprofit, along with the technical support of Amnesty International. The Pegasus Project lays bare how NSO's, it's a company, NSO Group, spyware is a weapon of choice for repressive governments seeking to silence journalists, activists, attack activists, and crush dissent, placing countless lives in peril. Well, I don't know what that, why does he say repressive governments? Wouldn't that really be all governments? I don't see the distinction here that they have to make that adjective's just kind of redundant, isn't it? At any rate, so we go on and we now see that this thing is a whole lot bigger than it was. I have a link over to the initiation that I caught, that this was then, I got a bunch of links sent to me about some of this, and through the hacker, the researcher about the hacking at the TrueTube Live, the programmer there, thank you very much, that this link I had gotten like last week, Pegasus flying above everybody, Israeli software reportedly may not have been used as planned. This was one of the defenses that the company, the Israelis, as they will do, well, we didn't do it, it was someone else. It's kind of like washing your hands of the problem and handing it to someone else that you really had the duty to stop, and you didn't. At any rate, so you start seeing a dynamic going on that NSO Group is kind of doing the fancy pants dance, and there's something in the works that had been going on, which is what I will get to in a moment, that they were doing. And so this group, NSO Group, that all comes together. And it's military grade, and it's used at governments, and you're not going to get into governments unless you're the government, and you're part of the government is helping you, and part of what you're doing is to advance that government's agenda. And it likely, NSO Group is the military, or it's connected somehow to it, to be able to talk to other governments in order to give them this stuff that allows them to misuse it, which is a whole other problem when you know that. Pegasus scandal turned spotlight on Israel's controversial military tech sector. Well, they're not doing that without permission of the military. So we can kind of get rid of the fact that Pegasus was some corporation in Israel that was doing this innocently. The latest revelation of NSO Group's Pegasus software is responsible for repeated worldwide violations of human rights and abuses of power are a huge embarrassment for Israel's government. Why would it be if it was just a corporation? This statement, this observation is being made. Maybe it is an opinion, but it seems relevant to me that they would be embarrassed because they got caught, right? And they're not embarrassed for what they're doing. They're embarrassed they got caught. And it goes on and delineates that the Mossad espionage agency is involved in this. So, again, let's not diminish what's really going on here. There's always the military connection to all of this stuff and the surveillance of your life globally. And I told you this little pipsqueak over there is given license to do this. And we may have just heard where they may have just gotten caught a bit. We'll see when we get to the end and the story that was advanced to me as I was looking at this other stuff. The international spyware scandal runs deeper than Pegasus, another story. I know maybe some people don't think about this and think it's important. To me, this is very important because these are the same people that are committing war crimes against other people. These are the same people that are committing atrocities against other people in their country. And these are the people that have decided to give their population license to persecute their own citizenry, as we will come up and see and listen to their own words. I can't do the words here today to do that because it's, I guess, it's in Hebrew as well that you wouldn't understand unless you spoke Hebrew. I don't. But I have links that you can get the translation in English. You can see the translation on the screen as they do the closed caption. But this moves on into worse things that the Zionistas over there are doing that are agreed to by governments in the world. The international spyware scandal runs deeper, and they explain how that Israel now, Israeli created spyware. This is intrinsically tied to the government, even though they call it NSO Group. Right? And they had, when we get to the court case that's been filed against them by Facebook, they did a lot of fancy pants dancing around in a court seemingly caught that up, but we'll see how that ends up working out as the Zionistas are just protected beyond any other thought. They're also the promoters of the harm against you that should have been stopped locally. Why it's so important to understand these, to see how these people do what they do and how they get away with what they do and what they'll say to exonerate the irreparable harm they cause. Israel creating task force to manage response to Pegasus project. Again, the media looking in at their own being surveilled and the threat it put on them, they got riled up. See, you don't act until it threatens you. See how that works? They didn't care before, but now that it affects them adversely, they're all over this thing, and they've outed it. So if it was just GSO Group as a corporation sitting in Israel, why would the government get involved? And my whole focus here is to show you that governments are involved in how to take down your life, how to take you out, and they'll use whatever excuse they can to get it done. Israeli governments is reportedly setting up a task force to manage the fallout from Pegasus Project revelations about the use of spying tools sold to authoritarian governments by the Israeli surveillance firm NSO Group. A team including representatives of the Defense Ministry, Ministry of Justice, Foreign Ministry, Military Intelligence, and the Mossad, the National Intelligence Agency, is posed to conduct an investigation into whether the policy changes are needed regarding sensitive cyber exports, several Israeli media outlets reported on Tuesday night, quoting unnamed officials. Can we go back and look at that? They're going to amass this check. Should not be involved at all. The government should be out of this. They are. They're going to amass a task force to do what? Investigate whether policy changes are needed. Not that they condemn the type of spying that was going on by these governments as a product that they make lots of money on. We're just going to see what policy changes we need in how we export this thing. And the government is involved. And I don't know how much more critical I can explain this problem that's going on, and this is our world now, and this intrudes and goes into, this is just one company with one governmental backup. They were allowed and are allowed and fostered and encouraged to continue to do this stuff against you. And so any of you thought you had free speech, you might have, I mean, that was done away with. And I see nobody even going against that. Oh, we have people that will go against that you have free speech, but when I see their actions, it doesn't seem like they understand what they're doing more than protesting, which is really not enough. I wish, in fact, I ran across somebody, and I think it's in the UK. They're at a new party they're coming up on talking about free speech. If that group of people, that new political party, which has a lot of committed people into it, they are fed up over there with Boris Johnson. If they understood what I've been saying behind the woodshed about their communicable disease laws, they wouldn't have to just pick at the edges about what Boris Johnson is doing over there to those people. You don't have a whole lot of people when you have hundreds of thousands of people in a political party. That's not a big force relative to, let's say, voting in elections. Even a couple million. But that's a gob of people if you focus those million, those 100,000, onto what I've been talking about. They would do a whole lot more power. They'd have a whole lot more power than the people in the streets. I think all the people in the streets need to do the very same thing. You'd be able to shut down what Boris Johnson is doing and all his minion to destroy you. It's all the same pattern, so I don't understand why this has been such a confusion. In this story with Pegasus, we're watching governments embrace the treachery. No one denounces it whatsoever. That's not a question for some people. That's, oh, what do you think? That's right, but this is the problem. Just saying that's not going to stop it. It continues, and it's getting worse. It's how they're affecting this condition. It's how they're able to move things in and cause so-called policy changes on how things will work and to cloister up, to turtle up even more so you can't see them, to provide an issue that they can twist and turn to their favor. What is that idea that just came to mind? You wrestle with a pig in mud and the pig likes it? That kind of stuff. But this is not just piggish. This is concentrated evil. I don't know what else to say about it. Then we move into, there's a pushback. Even the dreaded Zuck can't handle surveillance when it comes on him. See, all the media couldn't handle it when they found out it was on them. On you, it's fine. You getting surveilled and contact trace, it's fine. When they're under scrutiny, boy, they come together, don't they? Mutual assistance, mutual aid. Facebook, on its own, when it came under surveillance pressure, it found out it was hacked. Its processes, its software was hacked. It stood up for itself. When your software gets hacked with this death serum, are you going to stand up? And if not now, when? If you haven't already, when? A Facebook court rules WhatsApp and Facebook malware exploit case against NSO Group can proceed. Now, this is a very interesting, for those of you in international law and things, and foreign states, and all this immunity stuff, this is kind of an interesting read. And I've given you a link of someone who does some of the analysis and the back and forth of what a court could do. That stuff tires me out. I'm not interested in what a court could do. I want to know what they did, and I want to be able to analyze how they done it, and whether or not it's something is an encroachment or something that can be relied upon. I don't trust any of this stuff anymore. So, but Facebook's not liking when they came under attack, be it by a hack. And so why does Faceplant and Facepalm, why are they more concerned about their software of life being hacked than you? Is first my first thought when I saw this. But a federal court allowed a lawsuit against NSO Group that tried to claim immunity by way of surrogate immunity of the governments it was serving, admitting that they do this to government, that with governments, but they said, oh, but that's not us. We only do service of the product. Well, if I'm going to be the guy who services your gun to shoot people, and I know you're shooting people with it, maybe there's a little bit of culpability, but the court doesn't find that. The court finds more because of what NSO Group tried to do. They tried to use a certain provision of law regarding immunity of foreign states, and they tried to attach themselves to them. What you're looking at here is some pretty fancy pants thinking lawyers here in the Israeli group, twisting and turning what they do best. How are they going to justify doing crime? And they tried to take Foreign Sovereign Immunity Act and extend it, stretch it over to them, and the court wasn't going to go there. And so ultimately, WhatsApp gets to sue this GSO group for hacking its software of life. And causing an infiltration through its system. I just find it fascinating how Facebook will protect against the hacking of its system, its software of life, and you won't. You'll just wait against a similar deadly threat, in my view, if you put it in the different context of its application. Why is NSO Group asserting sovereign immunity in a WhatsApp litigation? Yeah, why would they be? Because impliedly they're a government agency, though they're not situated like that. What I found interesting, and I didn't have time to go research, is the federal court says, this judge says, well, because you weren't, and this is what's very fascinating as well, because and the NSO Group was not a domestic corporation, you can't use that. And I don't understand that whatsoever, but that's the stupidity behind what I understand that decision was based in. So in other words, they could be committing human rights violations. They could be doing dealings if they were just a domestic corporation, which explains something else, why your domestic corporations are attacking you. And we're over now into a Twitter feed. This is where I got to this guy named Lawrence Fox and the group of people he's starting to fire up. Whatever, I don't know anything about UK politics and all that, but it got me into what he was trying to do or thinks he's doing. And I'm saying, well, if these people are this earnest, instead of accepting all this and be flabbergasted, rightfully, like he says here, rightfully, the slavery has no words for what he just heard coming out of the new Israeli prime minister's mouth regarding persecution of those that are unvaccinated. That the group of people that are gathering up around him could be a formidable force to attack this going through the communicable disease statutes and giving voice, if you will, to the law that's supposed to be honored and being defiled. But here's I can't play it. I can only describe quickly a story to go read. We'll go into it initially. I wanted to point out where I found this report. It's a subpart of a report that was given by the one that ousted Netanyahu is continuing the same old program as the guy before him. So, in with the new, out with the old, in with the new, the same as the old type stuff. But it's, you gotta listen to what they're doing. You have to listen to their so-called logic. You have to listen to what they're invoking in people. I don't see here any different than what I heard Hitler as translated from German, what Hitler did to people, all raising their flags and giving the salute as your civic duty to go essentially persecute people who don't want to get the vaccine to get more people involved. And he's talking about kids now. He's saying that over 600,000 teens and younger have not been vaccinated, and they're going to try and get that to happen. They want people to go out. It's their civic duty to go out and get people to understand they need vaccinations. They claim science here. It's complete crime going on. And these guys don't care, as I guess the thing keeps coming to my mind. They don't care what they're doing to their people. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett to require vaccine certificates to attend public events. That wasn't good enough. You'll see UK, Boris Johnson is doing the same thing. It's not good enough that you're going to test okay. You're going to have to do more. And so you're seeing the writing on the wall. I told you this little country was not a country. Excuse me. I just blaspheme, folks. This governance, that's what it is, over in that little place, is going to be some place to watch. And you're watching them lead the charge against anybody being free from the new normal, which is you are going to be changed. Your software of life is going to be changed forever. And the booster shots, the updates, the patches are coming on the heels. Why? Because when you read what the graphene oxide is doing, it's causing your body to alter in odd ways, and they need to keep it changing with that in order to keep you functional so you can continue to be the shedder you need to be. So that the entire population of the world comes underneath this thing, chemical weapons attack. Israeli government is reportedly setting up a task force to manage the fallout of the Pegasus project on that, and then you find out that they're coming out, it's where they're doing, war crimes against surveilling you. Then you wonder, in Israel, they're doing the task force, and it's a military operation. How are they going to keep track of everybody that they're going to want to persecute? is already going on, folks. I don't even know what more to say here to watch how this starts to roll out. The Israeli officials announced the citizens will be legally required to present vaccination certificates. Now, look at the bureaucracy that sets up. He says that if you don't get a test, it's going to be out of your own pocket to do so if you want to attend social events of over 100 as well. But he makes some actually interesting statements. He states in there, and you got to listen for this. He states essentially, if you listen, the taxpayer should not pay for the test. In other words, as I interpret that all of a sudden now, you've been disenfranchised of your taxpayer status even. The unvaccinated are no longer taxpayers, but the taxpayers are to not foot the bill for doing a purported civic duty to aid and abet fraud. The unvaccinated will not be considered taxpayers for the purpose of having to pay for the test even so. And what they're doing when they take the test is that they are implored as a civic duty to aid and abet the fraud. And so you're disenfranchised of your taxpayer status as being a part of society. And I know some of you think taxpayer status is like you don't want to do that, which I'm not saying you should. I'm saying that is a status, and that does afford certain rights. In fact, if you get certain types of cases and you don't state you're a taxpayer, you will not have standing. That state, if you listen carefully to what he says about the taxpayers no longer will pay for this, they've disenfranchised the unvaccinated without any due process. It's fascinating how fast this will work against people. And then he makes a comment of 600,000, and then he actually references that over 1 million have not. But they want 600,000, there's 600,000 unvaccinated teens that are causing the problem, folks. So I did a quick check. Even within the second number, he says 1 million then were not vaccinated that need to be persecuted into being vaccinated. And 8 million. But I went to a Jewish virtual library website that shows us on Israeli Independence Day 2021, the population actually stood at 9.3 million. And so this prime minister's numbers are all a jumble. And what does that account for? The 600,000. And I wondered if there was 66,000 missing, the 666 here, the 666 teens would be less than 1%. In fact, it's just above 0.5% of the population that they're targeting for persecution. It's not a people that I'd want to be living around. And yet you're watching the whole world turn into this insanity at the suggestion of someone who's not a doctor, who's not unconnected, that is not educated, not obviously read documents, even the minimal documents I've read here today at the Brahina Witcha, insisting that the civic duty now in Israel is for the people to persecute those that are not vaccinated, and that if you're not vaccinated, you don't get to do much. And if you do something, it's going to be under the penalty of further impositions, like if you travel. Those with vaccines don't have to do quarantine. Yeah, because it's all about spreading that stuff around those shedders, and you that are will have to quarantine just as a penalty because it doesn't do anything if you're not vaccinated. You're not the threat. The government also has said, how stupid this comes down, not only is 1% of the population, less than 1% of the population, at best it's 1% if I give them credit for the million at 9.2 million, 1% of the population has not been vaccinated that they're targeting right now, and yet the governments generally have said 75% would be enough and sufficient vaccination rates that they don't have to do anything more. Herd immunity would be reached. When you look at this, the unvaccinated do not and essentially cannot contribute to any purported variants that he talks about in the video. And these variants, as we now see, they may not be variants biological, but because of chemotherapy, structural and functional distortions, they are created by that death serum that's deemed safe. This is all coming out of this prime minister's mouth, as the closed caption is telling me, and also as I listened in another link that I think is in one of the links I'll send you, where they have a translator speaking. Now, are you get, folks, are you listening? Are you listening to how this nonsense is and all these points you could be bringing out? I wouldn't say them as an argument. You bring out the lunacy behind what these points are doing. They have populations of people that will work against the minority. See, if there was an actual vaccine, are you understanding this? The actual vaccine that we're told the original definition was to stop the virus, to protect against the virus. If it would do that, it would not be afraid of a 1% or 600,000 unvaccinated teens, which are not benefited one little bit if you want to go by the science, if we can trust even that science, because I think everybody's attacked, and so nobody could benefit, but that's a different tact on that. That the unvaccinated there in Israel, the teens, could not, in an actual vaccine, make the vaccine a fear that it couldn't handle it, because it would have been done. The herd immunity would have been reached. You don't have to go to the last 1%. I've talked about this years ago when we were talking about other herd immunity levels. Why were the 1% of the people being persecuted in the United States of America that they had to sue to try and get fine protection, when the government had already said it was adequate at 70, even I think at that point it was 90%. Look how far they've dropped the bar here, because they knew they couldn't get them. So this prime minister and the Zionista governance he represents are criminals of the worst kind, folks. I can't even imagine. The unspeakable evils and child abuse that they're willing to put onto the population. Then that population, for the most part, at least we're told, and it seemingly is by their adsorption of this death serum, it agrees with him. If you ever wondered how an oppressor gets away with murder, you're watching how it is across the world. It's laid bare for us. If we would just open our eyes and observe the horror, as I've been saying. I put that into the title. Everybody must think it's clickbait. They don't click on it. No one wants to see the information or hear the information they need to know. I always find that astonishing. Some of the most important work that I feel needs to be known is not clicked on. Now, I don't know how they know that from the title, but people don't want to know about what that stuff is. The government majority here, together, the government and the majority, are willing to beat down the minority. And even in wherever rule of law and democracy is, the minority is supposed to have rights. So if you don't have the right to have rights, they've even taken that right to resist. And that's another attainder, another type of violation that was never supposed to be broached by the Constitution, if you thought you had one. And you do, but it's not through the Constitution. It's by your mutual aid to support those principles that were something that you could rely on, that these criminals are not acknowledging. And why would they? They're criminals. This is just self-evident truths going on here, folks, that I don't know why we're waiting as a people so long. So the government and the majority are willing to beat down the minority if you ever wondered how segregation feels. For those of us that think in the United States we're like from it, we've risen above it. No. The plan is to maintain you in it. They keep you, they focus you on one thing they tell you is being solved when in fact they're enslaving the rest by the same processes. Where have you heard that about? Behind the Woodshed. I've been talking about this forever. The 14th Amendment declares all citizens subject to the United States are colored. All citizens are colored. If you look carefully, where have I referenced that? You're colored by the law. This is a legal principle. And you're colored to suffer exactions of every kind and no other. Where do you find that? In black and white. None of my opinion. Oh boy, I'm sure people call that racist, but that's your government. That's why you see reverse racism, if you will, if I can call it. Those people that claim to not be racist are racist, like cancel culture, critical race theory. They want to say they're not racist. It's all racist. It's like the new Ku Klux Klan on steroids. The very acts I talk about were supposed to stop. In fact, when you look at them very carefully, they embrace it. 42 U.S.C. 1981 mentions white citizens specifically. They're speaking to those freed people that couldn't protect themselves, and all were given the civil right, not civil liberties, given civil rights, because you had no other benefit to you, of exactions of every kind and no other. If you ever wondered what slavery, civilized slavery, looks like in the more perfect unionity. We're moving from union, perfect union, to unity, aren't we? So my mind meanders a little bit, working out, you know, what are we looking at here? What correlations might we have? Now, when the prime minister over there in Israel is saying it's a civil duty to persecute others, and we're going to start with a 600,000, I said, well, what's going to be left? And I know it's not necessarily applicable, but if it is, you should consider this. Maybe what's left, and it's not really applicable in this regard with COVID, but just how the interactions of people are, and what is left when a persecution comes along, and what it takes to resist that. Maybe out of the 600,000 teens, there will be 144,000 left. The remnant, folks, whom ultimately haven't committed adultery, the unadulterated, by those intent on transforming them, the transformation from mankind to human animal, the monster that hath no inheritable blood, in this chimeric adjustment that people were so willing to sell their inheritance for the professed safety of not getting a stuffy head fever, achy feeling in the future. And additional to this reference to the Bible, obviously, and not necessarily that it's applied so directly, but given as a principle of observation of what we can expect to see, it gets worse. And yet there's still going to be the holdouts. And that's what I don't know why I keep focusing the optimism in me, even though it's waning greatly, folks. But there's an optimism in me that just won't quit to say, there's a few of us that will remain. We can be those. And how we do that, we're admonished to gird up thy loins. Men, as applied through the source I'm saying, for the 144,000 are supposed to resist, not in the way it's supposed to happen, because those folks are also resurrected. Remember, those are before us. The living aren't going to be doing this. But we, in our own right, have to do that. We have to gird up thy loins. And guess what? Because of this civil rights thing, so do women. Because if women may not understand this, but when you read enough and you start finding out what's going on, men are treated as men, but they're treated as subject men. And women are treated not as women. They were given suffrage, and I say suffrage. That is a legal entity status. You're not a woman at that point. You're treated under the law as a man, as being a woman. And so where it says, gird up thy loins, referencing men in that source, you women have to do so too. Relative to what they're doing and the attack these people have, you women and you girl, they're going after your ovaries and your reproductive health. In the adulteration admitted to be the software of life, requiring frequent updates or patches in the endless hack of your life and your way of life, folks. If you think I'm speaking derogatory, I'm not. I'm trying to give people the information of a reality you can find in black and white and red. Women have never been treated as women. They've been treated as men, and then men were treated as slaves and given something that they didn't throw off. The burden and suffrage of exactions of every kind. And we're watching the institution of that in this jabdemic, but at a global level. Now, we move past nation state here as we do this. We have to. And so my only reference there is that there's a book that you can read that explains things in history that I'm watching are repeating themselves, and they do so over and over. As we'll say, oh, history repeats itself. Yes, because you don't learn the lessons of the past. What do I say on my Twitter? Learn the lessons of the past so we can figure out what we need to do to stop it, to stop that history from repeating itself that brought us into servitudes. And now they're going to take away our capacity with this death jab. I don't know what else to say. It's death of the way of your life. It's an attainder of your life. It's a forfeiture of your life. That's a forfeiture to your rights. This is the fundamental violation to you by all these people. It's a corruption of blood. It's a corruption of blood to your heirs, which is what was not supposed to happen if you were convicted, and we don't even have the due process to cause the conviction. This thing is so bad relative to black and white authorities of why, how we got here, what we weren't going to do to ourselves anymore. I'm just blown away. I don't hear this more from more people. Yeah, we complain we're having a rights violation, but no one understands the nuts and bolts of how that was working and to point that out directly and try to stop it. I say try because no different in our mining claim. No other miners are going to be there to help. It's only me and the co-owner and what I can figure out to do in order to scare these people off, because I know the gangsters will not stop because I say so. And that's the world we live in. So I'm not shocked. It's actually playing out. What happens to us is people who won't step up, stand up for each one, for ourselves, and then with others. So this Israel leads the world into vaccine terrorism. Another report, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett delivers the bombshell. And another opinions on how this works. He's this quotes about this. They're willing to put this on their people. The Corona Cabinet, they call it. Remember, this is a synthesized thing. It's constructed in the body. You don't have to go to mRNA on this. It's what the chemical weapon does. It's how the body responds. They know the body's responding, and that's what the body does. Government's doing the same thing. They know the body of the people are going to respond a certain way when they say certain stuff. They provide certain impetus. And you watch as people do that. The Corona, if you think that religion is protected in a religious state, so-called, which shows you it's not a religious state as well, the Corona Cabinet decided today that, this is the Prime Minister speaking, not in English, but I'm reading it from the article, that as of 8 August, well, not immediately, folks, if it's so imperative, but 8 August, those who refuse vaccines will not be able to go to cinema, the theater, the synagogue, folks, the synagogue, the amusement park, the soccer game, or any activity with over 100 people, indoors or out, unless they bring negative results from the coronavirus test at their expense. Yes, they will fully bear the cost of the tests. There is no reason why the taxpayers and the people have to carry out their civic duty, who have carried out their civic duty and have been vaccinated, should finance tests for those who refuse to get vaccinated. That is the statement that effectively disenfranchises the citizen taxpayer from being one at his pleasure without due process. It is a confiscation of your life by the government that in America is supposed to violate the constitutional provision against that. And we move on. You think it's in Israel? I told you that was just the lead. Boris Johnson in the UK, proof of a negative test no longer enough. UK PM Boris Johnson says that after all over 18s have had the chance to get the jab, you had the chance to buy in, folks, and now that you have it, you're going to suffer. That full vaccination will be required to enter into nightclubs and other venues where large crowds gather. That's pretty much not, well, I'll say it's not mandatory vaccines, but see, it isn't. That they're trying to shove you into austerity. They just have to leave a little bit of it out. If you go read that prior court case that I've talked about, they say, oh, it's your choice. It's a cynical choice, but it's a choice. You don't have to do those things. Folks, a synagogue? Really? And so you see the disconnect quickly. But Boris Johnson said, forget, you can go ahead and take the test. That's not going to be enough. We want you to have that jab. What did I read? An article that keeps coming around. Mine's a meme. It says, we're running out of conspiracy theories. There's a conspiracy theory crisis. They've all come true. We don't have any new ones. Yeah, that's kind of like that, folks. I'm looking at, quickly saw down at Frumpy saying, Pfizer already announced jab is only useful for 6 months. Yes, I think, yeah. Okay, that's updated information. I think I reported on that. We could telegraph that. They said that they were going to be doing boosters every 6 months. And that's, so we have more confirmation. They're coming again to up, see, that's the upware, that's the software update. And they don't know what it does. They know it does stuff, and they know they've got those ingredients together, and they don't, they're claiming they don't know those collateral attacks that are doing, those unintended consequences, but they know they're reprogramming your body structurally and functionally. Remember, I said that right in that article. The study was structural and functional alterations of your anatomy. And so you think the United States, Israeli, the Zionists are tough. You think that they're persecuting bad. You think Boris Johnson's bad. You think the United States, the beacon of freedom, is above it? No. Massachusetts County first to implement COVID K9 unit. Did you hear me, folks? Massachusetts, the pioneer police state east. Is going to be implementing COVID K9. This brings on a whole other setup of problems, not just the obvious. Why would you use a K9? Why the law enforcement? The first Bristol County Sheriff's Office in Massachusetts is the first law enforcement agency in the country to implement K9 unit with canines able to detect COVID-19. How'd they do that, folks? COVID-19 is fever, stuffy head, needing rest, sniffly medicine stuff. It's not SARS-CoV-2, is it? And they claim, because of the way, and they go through all this elaborate process on how they were able to get a dog to be able to detect COVID, not the infectious agent, but COVID, that they can trigger the dog. Now, I want to remind you on these triggering dogs, what they've done with those drug dogs. See, this is all the extension of the drug war. And now we're seeing the flip on its head. They'll use a triggered dog to say you had drugs they don't want you to have, and now they'll use a triggered dog to force you to get drugs they want you to have. And canines are going to be used. And now you start, and there's no test on this, but they're going to do it anyway. The program, which uses masks worn by COVID-19 positive patients, kills the virus with an ultraviolet light, leaving the smell of the virus for the dogs to detect. How are they testing for the COVID, folks, on positive patients? What was the cycle? If it was valid, what was the cycle? What did they test? Where was the isolate? Are you sure that when you kill it with COVID light, that it's a viral and not a chemical weapon? How do you know it leaves a smell of the virus that doesn't exist? It's not a virus that they're testing. And it's not a virus that's live. What are they testing here, folks? So this is completely bogus. You can go through this. This is actually quite astonishing. As I said, they're using drug dog techniques that can be triggered on a suggestion, even a silent one, between the dog and the cop. To trigger a positive on drugs they don't want you to have, and they can now trigger a positive on the drugs they want you to force you to take. Really is a manipulative tool, not actually evidence. That I want you to consider, move on to another, Massachusetts first in the nation to implement COVID-19, which begs the question, can COVID arrests for unvaccinated be far behind? Now, that's an interesting question. How are they going to make that against the law? They could. They've been doing all kinds of stuff. No one will stop. But let me offer something. Those are supposed to set up for probable cause. It can be destroyed that it's not. But see, there's no bar member and no bar member in a robe that's going to fight and determine a breach of the branch that the federal court found in the CDC, an overreach. Why does the CDC found to be overreach and yet your local officials can't be found to be overreach by your local attorneys in a row? That these dogs apparently become the evidence of your infection. In other words, this is a complete rout of the communicable disease law where we can go to now a canine dog to get our determination that we are COVID positive. We don't need a doctor. And I think I was talking, kind of memorized a comment on my email saying this is like living in the law of the jungle now. You don't have your communicable disease law. The dog becomes your doctor. And living in the law of the jungle, is it Dr. Canine, I presume? The dog becomes a surrogate doctor, and yet there's no authority for it. Where you see the communicable disease laws requires a medical report. And yet Massachusetts, in all their representative capacity, the federal court just told you, you live under their decision, allows a dog to become your doctor. It's really quite astonishing that I didn't hear an uproar over that from this side of the country. The other pioneer police state, West, is quite astonishing to me. This canine has been given the authority that they give a doctor. Because someone guessed what they were smelling was symptoms of some infectious agent. When in fact it can be clearly showed to not be anything in particular, and can't be. But here comes, you think it's tough, you think something's bad, you think that the United States is the beacon of freedom, and here we have canines that are now going to detect, they say, that you're sick and you're a threat to the public without any due process whatsoever. And so those of you that are doing nothing, when this starts to spread around a bit, and even those of you in that county, and you haven't been doing anything there, now it comes at you. You're walking down the street, and the dog walks by you, and the guy that's running the dog don't like you, didn't like what you said, didn't way you like the way you look, didn't like your t-shirt because you said that it's a scam-demic, and you're going to be triggered. You're going to be called out. You'll be the one that's now the threat. And if you want to start going about canines and then going the threat, and it's law enforcement doing this, what's to stop them that you're the threat to the public that becomes the felony to shoot you right there? Well, you think I'm talking hyperbole. I'm going to be waiting. I hope we never see it. But I'm waiting. I'm watching. This is how it's developing. The home of the free. No way. No way. And nobody's perfecting the contrary to that. North Carolina County starts offering door-to-door COVID-19 vaccinations. Are they going to use a canine, folks? I hope you appreciate the fact that the dog becomes a doctor. Now, that's not to undermine. Dogs have a fascinating sense of smell, but not as applied. North Carolina County starts offering door-to-door COVID-19. This was on the heels of the president. Is that true? Yeah, I guess it's still, they haven't overthrown that for anything. The White House and the president say they're going door-to-door. We talked a little bit about that last week. In North Carolina County, it's starting. You notice it starts in blotches. It just goes spot to spot. They're calling this program Doses to Doors. And I wanted to offer something. They may be coming to your house, like I've been saying. And my opinion on this one is you just shouldn't talk to them. Don't open the door if you can get away with it. But as it seems to work around me, I'm usually active and doing stuff, and I'm in the middle of doing something, and like I'll walk into them. They come on the property, and I'll walk in because I'm coming around, walking, doing something. And there they are. And so you got to kind of, there's no door to not open on it. But anyway, so you got to be careful about having something in your mind if you are confronted. One of the first things you want to do is just say, you're trespassing, leave. That's really probably the smartest thing. Don't get engaged. But it also occurred to me, I've also offered you, there's things you can say that don't incriminate you, that you might want to offer to negate what they're there for. Go to the White House and go see what they said, and they mentioned 2 points. And the 2 points were that they wanted to tell you, give you information on the safety of vaccines and explain that they were available. And if you're not able to just abruptly say, you're trespassing, leave me alone, or leave my property, which actually would kind of cause them to understand or make you one of those hesitant asymptomatics. My thought was maybe to consider, and better to say, when they show up, or if you are confronted, I understand the information on the safety of vaccines and that they're available. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Good day. Whatever you want to say. You state that instead. Why? Because that's what the White House claims. That's all they're doing. And my thought is, if you just say, I understand the information about the safety of vaccines and that they're available, and thank you very much, have a good day. You are not agreeing, you're not lying, and you're also can be telling the truth that if you did the research, you'd find out what the safety of the vaccines are. Not, first of all, you're not discussing this with them. You're just making the statement, I understand the information of the safety of vaccines, and I know that the vaccines are available. Thank you. And if they persist, please leave the property. And if they persist again, you're trespassing. And then you have to kind of wait, kind of work out the idea of getting them off your property. The point is, you don't want to engage this door-to-door, doses-to-door. They're going to have them for you. You have to address what the White House, foreign White House attack, address, invasion is, I think, with that short phrase. Consider that. Think about it. Better than just saying, get off the property. You can do that, and that would be proper. What I'm concerned about is that in starting up another type of a persistence, like the senseless worker, and this is what you're dealing with. But remember, too, as we get there, you're going to see potentially see some striking people at your door, possibly. And you're seeing the government and the your judiciary agreeing. But if you listen very carefully, they're agreeing in very particular ways, and they're agreeing in ways that I've suggested how you have to attack as well, trying to anticipate what they're there for, negate that, nicely negate that and get them on their way. But here we see a different style. Judge refuses to block Indiana University's COVID-19 vaccine mandates. A federal judge has denied a request to block Indiana University's COVID-19 vaccine mandate after a group of students sued the school claiming the inoculation requirement is unconstitutional. This is the story that says these students have options. This is a cynical, in my mind, a cynical view from the judge on what the options are. That wasn't what caught my mind. This is also showing you the federal judge would not overturn the local policies nor of the university, just as I've been telling you. What it does say, though, if you read a little bit farther down, recognizing the significant liberty interest the students retain to refuse unwanted medical treatment, the 14th Amendment permits Indiana University to pursue a reasonable and due process of vaccination in the legitimate interests of public health for its students, faculty, and staff. Adding that IU's COVID-19 vaccine policy, quote, leaves the students with multiple choices, not just forced vaccinations. Let me go back to that part right in the middle. The legitimate interests. They're making a provision that when you bring an illegitimate interest or an illegitimate application, that you might have standing there, and I think you would, and this is what I've been telling you. You can't just pussyfoot around on whether or not this is a fraud of the century, of all men, of all time, on all mankind. You need to assert the fraud, and fraud is not a legitimate interest. So right here you see that they're not going to overturn it. They're doing it on the cynical view. You have options, even though those options are really not very good and not very well protected. But what he puts out there, what she puts out of this, what this judge puts out there, was it has to be a legitimate interest of public health. And I've been telling you, you identify the fraud, and then you assert that fraud is not a legitimate interest, a legitimate public health interest for anything, let alone public health. And so this is an instructive little story that you can read. It conforms with what we're consistent in what I've been telling you, what needs to be done. You can't argue mitigation. You can't argue about their decision making that they determined. You have to challenge that it was a fraud, the determination. And then you have to challenge that they didn't, again, as I've said, they have not produced a non-fraudulent, that they have not demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency for this emergency. And you attack it from the fraud. And that's what the Tennessee case does, and we watched how the Again, the Bar Association member in a robe has done everything but bring the proper law. And so this is the battle. And like I said, I wish we had thousands and thousands and thousands of people that would look in on these cases and really make their voice known. It would really help. But here's a little insight. Only the legitimate interests are being upheld. And it seems to me, as I've said, no attorney brings that there was an illegitimate interest because they believe that there's a communicable disease pandemic going on, but they have no evidence of that, which is really a failure on the first instance. So getting back to the states that are going to go door to door, now that you have to say something that delegitimizes what they're doing, but Oregon may use National Guard for door-to-door COVID questions if you didn't think the military was involved in the Pioneer Police State in the minimum. Operation Warp Speed. When President Biden's latest COVID extreme COVID move, a door-to-door visit to Americans to promote vaccines, was announced, one of the reactions was the South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, who said that the decisions are personal for his residents to make. Well, you think they'd be personal for everyone, but see, this is your representatives run your life. That court case in the beginning of the broadcast tells you that, if you didn't understand the prison you live in. Enticing, coercing, intimidating, mandating, and pressuring anyone to take the vaccine is a bad policy. Not law, not against the law. It's a bad policy, which will deteriorate the public trust and confidence in the state's vaccination efforts. So he's agreeable to vaccinations, isn't he? So be careful, though. The forked tongue that's spoken here. The point is that we have a distinction in this story. They start out with one who says it's a personal choice, and then the military, the National Guard, may be sent door to door, in particular talking about Eugene, Oregon. What business does the National Guard have coming to tell you, to inform you of the safety of vaccines and the availability of the jab? What function, what purpose do they have? Unless this is a wartime maneuver. Moving into a more serious thing that's going on, and I'm only taking interest in this because I wondered why we haven't heard about this, but for 20 years ago, about the time the other one happened, the first case of monkeypox is in the U.S. since 2003 has been diagnosed in a Texas resident. 2003, isn't that when the SARS-1 was involved? The case of monkeypox has been confirmed to a Texas resident who had flown to Atlanta from Nigeria on July 8th and the final destination at Dallas Love Field Airport on July 9th, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention said. It is the first case of the virus seen in the United States in nearly two decades. Yeah, coincident with SARS-CoV-1, the CDC invention. Then we see how serious this is. This is not just one. They're really looking at a whole lot more. More than 200 people being tracked. For possible monkeypox exposure. More than 200 people in 27 states are being monitored for possible exposure to monkeypox after they had contact with an individual who contracted a disease in Nigeria. Let's move through here. You're going to find out. They go through and they're saying, what's interesting I found in these stories was because they were in an airplane, there wasn't enough long contact for this thing to spread, and because the masks were being worn. Which all is bogus. But they also say that you can be sitting right next to somebody with these contagious things and may not catch them. But it's not just one party. It's in 200 people that they came across. Why is it how is it so consistent with the outbreak of 2003? And it only started, we only saw this now after the vaccine started. And who's in charge of all this information that we're getting about how we're going to be interpreting what we see in reality? But the people who are actually engaging in the unreality. A new bill would help hold Facebook responsible for COVID-19 vaccine misinformation. Now we see the attack on Facebook. I'm not promoting any of that. They're all criminal. They're all part of it. You're watching the governments take control of the private social media in order to propagandize them as well. And my question is, who is deciding what is information and what is misinformation? Obviously, it's not you or me. It's going to be them. She's a Democrat, and it doesn't matter if you're Republican, you're doing the same thing, because no Republican stop them. Rand Paul, we're going into a fisticuffs with Fauci, still believes in vaccines. He's just another type of criminal. He's in a different costume. but they're now putting pressure on Facebook about what the information you have is going to be in the future and who's going to do the fact-checking, even to your private SMS messages. Did you know, folks? Talk about Israeli hacking. You think the United States is pure and clean? No. Democrat groups to plan fact-check private SMS messages. It's already in the... you're already part of this technocratic horror. That other people can look at your stuff. If you thought you had any kind of way to talk privately to people or have your thoughts be to yourself amongst friends, no, they're going to now fact check what you talk about. The same woman here that over here that wants to go ahead and decide what Facebook is going to allow is the same problem I had last week with the India story. Be careful on what these governments are involved with when they're shutting down the social media, notwithstanding the show social media is a tool. They're getting directly controlled, folks. And this is how I told you the technocratic digital world works in the control structure. It starts out as a gift, like any drug. You get used to it. You want to have more. And then they start to put the pressure to you. And if it's not what they want, you don't get that. And they bring on their own problems when you start looking carefully. I'm going to move on now. The Democrats seem to be a little bit of a target here, but I want to bring Rand Paul. He's not a saint at all. At all. It's all theater what's going on. So this Democrat wants to put a bill about Facebook. Democrat groups are going to look at your SMS messages and fact check them for you. Harris won't quarantine after meeting with Texas Democrats infected with COVID-19. This became a joke, an interesting funny that was out there. So what's going to be the outcome? She's going to go and she's going to get tested, all her denial, and then she's going to test negative, notwithstanding her interaction. Shows it's not communicable. But that's what happened. Harris won't quarantine after meeting with Texas Democrats. There was a thing in Texas. The legislators went and ran to D.C. Their allegiance, folks, is federal. So meets up with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris heads, so she denies that she got sick. Then she says she's not going to the hospital. Then she's going to go to Walter Reed on a routine check. Is a routine check now to check for COVID? Well, apparently so, because she comes out of there testing negative for COVID following her meeting with the infected Democrats. Has to tell you, this is all a setup, all a game, all what they want against you, and it's not stopping until you step up with what I've really been suggesting, and I have to continue that way because I've found nobody to contribute, amplify, or actually show me different. That you need to step up for yourself. I told you they're coming to your door. It's now fact. The military may be coming to your door in certain places. What world are you living? What delusion are you under to believe this is not the prison planet I've heard for so many years being promoted? And that's up to us. It really, us, we're going to have to, we're all the in the prison that we have to figure out a way to make the jailbreak. And I think the black and white offers that for us. I think there's something that we have we can rely on. They're not supposed to do these bills of attainder. They're not supposed to do forfeitures, confiscations of our life. They're not supposed to invade us. They're supposed to follow due processes. The judge said that due process, right? So not only is it illegitimate, there was no due process. Where do you get the objective basis for that? That's a communicable disease law. Pretty fascinating. It's all there for us to use, and I hear crickets. Grimner, thank you for what you do at reallibertymedia.com. Get well. Keep the fight going and stop the fight and get healthy and wealthy there in your daily things. A little concerned here for you, but thank you very much for all the syndicators and passing the word. I appreciate everything you do, and I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
paying a whoop ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop ass.